Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, has not gone so far as to say the war is over. In your view, is the war between Israel and Hamas over?
War is over. The war is over, okay? Do you understand that?
Is the war now officially over? Do you have any message, Mr. President?
Thank you. This is my video update on this Monday, midday, October the 13th, coming to you from Yerevan. Let's talk about some news. And the big news for the day is that hostages are now being released. As of the recording of this video, seven Israeli hostages have been released by Hamas. And the rest will be released in the next couple of hours. So by the time this video goes up, the hostages will have been released. Trump is on his way to Israel, where Witkoff and Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump as well, and also Netanyahu are waiting for the U.S. president. And Trump, as he was speaking to reporters before boarding Air Force One, he declared that the war in Gaza is over. That is what Trump said. It is over, the war in Gaza. And he considers this his greatest foreign policy achievement. That is also something that Trump said. And if this holds, if the ceasefire holds, if and when the hostages are released, you will also have Palestinian prisoners, 240, I believe, will also be released today, and another 1,400 or 1,600 prisoners will also be released in the next day or two, and Israel has pulled back to the yellow line. Then we have Hamas disarming, and then we have a full IDF withdrawal from most of Gaza. I believe those are phase two of his 20-point peace plan. But the phase one is coming to a completion, and that is the hostage release and the prisoner release. And this is huge news. Huge news, big news for the Trump administration. Good news for the Middle East, for the region, amazing news for the families of hostages and prisoners. Very good news that they will now be able to go home. And Trump will be joined at the event in Israel, the release of the hostages. He will be joined by leaders from 20 Arab and Middle East countries who are supporting Trump's 20-point peace plan. They actually drafted much of Trump's 20-point peace plan, so they also have a stake in this initiative. Trump is very much invested in the peace plan. And Hamas will not be at this event that is taking place right now as the president arrives in Israel to be joined by Witkoff and Kushner and Netanyahu and leaders of Arab and Muslim countries in the region. So that is the big news for the day. Huge news for today, and hopefully this will be the beginning of some sort of peace in the Middle East, some sort of a two-state solution, because that is where all of this leads to if the 20-point peace plan is adhered to. That's the hard part of all of this, for the 20-point peace plan to run its course and for all of the parties involved to stick to the 20-point peace plan. If that is done, then we will be eventually getting to a two-state solution. But the hard part begins after the release of the hostages and the prisoners. That is where the hard part begins, which is the disarmament part. So Trump, he also said, switching gears a bit as we walk around Yerevan on a very rainy morning here in Yerevan. And yesterday, Yerevan celebrated 2,807 years of existence. Is that right? Was that what the celebration was all about yesterday? Everyone watching from Armenia or from Yerevan, let me know in the comments down below. A big party went down here in Yerevan with fireworks and concerts everywhere. And I believe it was for 2,800 years of being around. That is a long, long time. 2,800 plus years. It's an old city, an old ancient city, and it is still going strong. Though this morning there was a lot of rain. And before I forget, like this video, like this video, give it a thumbs up. What a terrible segue into that, huh? I got to get more creative with my segues into liking the video. 2,800 years of Yerevan warrants a like to this video. There we go. And subscribe to this channel as well. Subscribing to this channel helps out a whole lot. And let's get moving now to Trump talking about the Tomahawks, the Tomahawk missiles. Trump made a statement about the Tomahawks, and he recognized that the Tomahawks are a huge escalation. That is what he said. And he said that he will talk to Putin and talk to him about ending the Ukraine conflict. And if Putin does not agree to settle the conflict in Ukraine, then he might give Tomahawks to Zelensky. He might give the Tomahawks to Zelensky, but first he has to talk to Putin, and he wants Putin to end the conflict in Ukraine. If Putin does not end the conflict in Ukraine, then the Tomahawks might go to Ukraine. It's a bluff. It is a bluff. But it is a dangerous bluff, in my opinion, because the Europeans and Ukraine, they're going to latch on to Trump's Tomahawk statements, and they're going to push and pressure Trump to give those Tomahawks over to Ukraine. The difficult part with the Tomahawks, of course, is all about the systems to launch the Tomahawks. We've gone into great detail about how difficult it is to launch the Tomahawks on this channel, but mostly on the Duran. Alexander has also gone into the difficulties of launching the Tomahawks. But long-range missiles, Tomahawk missiles, Taurus missiles, the Europeans and Ukraine, Zelensky, the UK, they are going to latch on to Trump's statements about Tomahawks. And though Trump is trying to use the whole Tomahawk issue to pressure Putin or pressure Russia into some sort of a deal or some sort of a ceasefire, it's a dangerous bluff, man. It is a dangerous bluff that could very well backfire on Trump because of the fact that the Europeans and Zelensky are not going to see this as some sort of a Trump bluff or Trump trying to use the Tomahawks to gain leverage on Putin. They're going to look at this as a way to pressure Trump to escalate with Russia. But anyway, that is what Trump said when talking about the Tomahawk missiles. He said, "I think President Putin will look great if he settles the situation, and I think he is going to do it. If he doesn't, it won't be very good for him." Trump said, "I might say, look, if this war is not going to get settled, I'm going to send them Tomahawks." Putin should just call Trump's bluff, right? if Trump talks to Putin and says, "Look, man, if you don't settle the war, if you don't settle the war, if you don't settle the war, I'm going to send tomahawks, Vladimir. I don't like it, but if you don't settle the war, I am going to send Ukraine tomahawks." Putin should say, "You know what, Donald? If you send tomahawks to Ukraine, I'm going to send Reznyks to Maduro." That should be what Putin tells Trump, right? Yeah, that would get Trump thinking. Anyway, Zelensky, he is making the rounds on mainstream media. He made the rounds on mainstream media in the United States yesterday. He spoke to Fox News. And he said that that the way Trump has ended the war in Gaza is the way he should try to end the war in Ukraine. And he should do this by putting pressure on Putin. And one way that he puts pressure on Putin is by giving tomahawks to us. That is basically what Zelensky told the Fox News reporter. And Zelensky also said yesterday in a video statement that the Russians are very afraid. They're very scared of the tomahawks. And that is why Trump should give over those tomahawks. And that is why he should continue to use the issue of the tomahawks and more weapons to Ukraine in order to keep the pressure on Putin and on Russia so that they can capitulate. We see and hear that Russia is afraid and that the Americans might give us tomahawks. This is a signal that such pressure could work in favor of peace. The strategy, according to Zelensky, is to continue to give Ukraine money and weapons and continue to escalate with Russia, because if you continue to escalate with Russia by giving Ukraine more and more weapons, including long-range missiles, then Putin will eventually fold. That is the logic from the Green Goblin, who dressed very nicely for his appearance on Fox News. He was wearing a very nice black get-up, a black shirt. No more green. Zelensky is wearing very nice black attire as he appears on Fox News. You see, Miss Fox News reporter lady, Trump, he should give us Tomahawk missiles. He gives us Tomahawk missiles. Putin, very afraid of the Tomahawk missiles. Miss Fox News lady, what do you think about Podolyak? You like Podolyak? Everyone likes Podolyak. Miss Fox News lady, I like Podolyak. He seems like he's a cool guy. You see, Podolyak, everyone likes you. Yeah. Zelensky making the rounds on U.S. mainstream media, going on Fox News. Fox News loves Zelensky. They love the Green Goblin, that Fox News. Emmanuel Macron, he loves the Green Goblin. Emmanuel Macron, he loves the Green Goblin. He loves to hug Zelensky and smell that Zelensky number 5. And you know what? Zelensky loves to hug Macron and get a whiff of that Dior Sauvignon. They love to smell each other. They love to sniff each other, Macron and Zelensky. Anyway, I'm rambling. I am rambling on this Monday morning. But Macron, he posted on X, "I spoke with President Zelensky as the agreement reached in Gaza offers a glimmer of hope for peace in the Middle East. The war in Ukraine, too, must come to an end. If Russia persists in its obstinate warmongering and its refusal to come to the negotiating table, it will have to pay the price." What price is it going to pay, Macron? Tell us, what is the price that Russia is going to pay, according to little Napoleon Macron? Macron did not write this post, by the way, on X, obviously. He obviously did not write this post. Macron using the word obstinate. Yeah, I don't think Macron wrote this post. But anyway, the common theme here from Zelensky, from the Europeans, is Trump got the deal in Gaza. He ended the war in Gaza by applying pressure. And so Trump needs to now apply pressure to Putin to get him to the negotiating table and get Putin to capitulate. That's the narrative now playing out. So that's the warning from Macron. If Putin does not come to the negotiating table, he will pay the price. Doesn't Macron have a country in meltdown mode to deal with instead of constantly going on about Zelensky? He's calling Zelensky all the time, huh? How about calling Le Pen or Mélenchon and trying to figure out how to put a proper government in place, how to put a stable government in place, or put a stable prime minister in place? Because Le Carnu, who is now the prime minister again, he is prime minister for a second time in 30 days, he said that he's not going to be prime minister for long. That is what Le Carnu said. He said, don't expect me to be in the prime minister post for long, because he doubts that they're going to be able to figure out a resolution to the budget. And so that is what Le Carnu said. Macron, he couldn't care. He couldn't care. He's busy speaking with Zelensky, trying to figure out when his next trip to Kiev is going to be. I need to smell that Zelensky number five. I need a whiff of that Zelensky number five. When can I get on that midnight train from Poland to Kiev? That is all Macron is thinking about. Orban, he posted on X, the Ukrainians want to enter the European Union at any cost. They openly demand funding for their army and cannot sustain their own state. Hungary remains an obstacle, refusing to send our money to Ukraine, while Brussels colludes with Kiev to force a government change. No matter their pressure, we will always put the interests of our people first. Yeah, the EU is pushing hard to get some sort of a change in government in Hungary, or at least to smear Orban to the point where when elections do happen in about a year's time, Orban is voted out. They even have Obama on the job, man. Yeah, they got him talking about Orban. He's actually talking about Poland as well, and how Poland and Hungary are slipping into authoritarianism. Damn it, Poland. Damn it, Hungary. Why are you slipping into authoritarianism? Asks Obama. And then Obama brought a bunch of activists, right? Activists. Democracy activists like Maria Corina Machado, these types of people, and Obama platformed them so they can voice their concerns about how Poland and how Hungary are becoming authoritarian countries, according to Barack Obama. Obama. Orban, he is putting together a petition where he is asking Hungarians to vote against Europe getting into a hot war with Ukraine. Orban says that in Denmark, the Europeans actually presented their plan for conflict with Russia. And Orban said, no way, we don't want any part of this plan for war with Russia. Hungarians do not want to go to war with Russia. Hungarians do not want to send their sons and their daughters to die in a war with Russia on behalf of Zelensky. And he's now putting together a petition to be signed by Hungarians to say no to conflict with Russia, no to the EU's plan for a war with Russia. Trump posted on Truth Social about Ukraine, actually about the impeachment, the Ukraine impeachment during his first term. And Trump posted, the Ukraine impeachment of me scam was a far bigger illegal hoax than Watergate. I sincerely hope the necessary authorities, including Congress, are looking into this. Adam Shifty Schiff was so dishonest and corrupt. So many laws and protocols were violated and just plain broken. President DJT. No thank you to your attention to this matter on this post. I wonder why. I wonder why Trump did not include that. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. He left that out. But yeah, he's talking about the Ukraine impeachment hoax, which it was. It was a hoax during his first term. The Russiagate fell apart. Remember Russiagate and Mueller? His testimony completely fell apart. It was a complete bust. Mueller had no idea what Russiagate even was during his testimony, right? Mr. Mueller, what is Russiagate? I don't know. What is Russiagate? He said, I have no idea. I have no idea what Russiagate is. And the whole thing completely fell apart. And 24 hours after Mueller's testimony and after Russiagate fell apart, we got the Ukraine impeachment process and the phone call with Zelensky, and all the people that that support Zelensky and support the war with Russia and support the escalation with Russia. Those are all the people that that launched the Russiagate scandal against Trump in his first term, as well as the Ukraine scandal. So Trump is making a note of this, and Trump should take this into consideration because supporting Project Ukraine is supporting all of those very people that impeached him over Ukraine during his first term, including Adam Shifty Shift. Trump also posted about China on Truth Social. He said, "Don't worry about China. It will all be fine. Highly respected President Xi just had a bad moment," Trump said. "He doesn't want depression for his country, and neither do I. The USA wants to help China and not hurt it, President DJT." Once again, he did not put "thank you for your attention" to this matter. Interesting. He's changing up his approach, Trump. He is changing things up. Cotton candy. All right. So that is what he posted about China. Yeah, he says that President Xi just had a bad moment. That's right. He just had a bad moment, the president of China, right? With the whole rare earth incident, the whole placing rare earths under further regulations, and five more rare earth minerals and elements placed under those regulations. It was just a bad moment, according to Trump, for President Xi. Trump forgives President Xi for that bad moment. Anyway, he's trying to walk back the escalation with China. That's how I see this post from Trump. And he's spinning it as some sort of a bad moment for China, some sort of a walk back from China, when in fact it is a walk back for President Trump. He's trying to signal that he wants to negotiate with China, given the checkmate that is the rare earths, the ultimate Trump card that China holds, which is rare earths. And Trump is realizing this. So anyway, that's his signal that he wants to negotiate with China. He is ready to deal with China. And one thing that did happen with China yesterday is that the government in the Netherlands, the Dutch government, they seized a Chinese semiconductor company, a subsidiary of a Chinese company. The Chinese company, the parent company, is called Wingtech, and the subsidiary is called Nexperia, and this subsidiary works in the Netherlands and employs 14,000 people in Europe, and it supplies semiconductors to the European market. And yesterday, the Netherlands, they seized this company. They took control of this company just like that. They replaced the CEO. They took over the shares. And that was it. What a crazy, stupid move from the Netherlands. This is from SL Canthon. Incredible violation of rule of law and free market economy in the EU. The Netherlands just seized a Chinese-owned semiconductor company, Nexperia. Excuse: national security, and to prevent the possibility of IP being stolen. It's like the Minority Report in geopolitics. The shares of Wingtech were simply stolen by the Dutch company and the chairman fired. In legal terms, the Goods Availability Act was invoked for the first time ever. The alleged reason is to prevent a situation in which the goods produced by Nexperia would become unavailable in an emergency. So yeah, this is an act in the Netherlands, the Goods Availability Act, which claims that if there is some sort of a war, some sort of an invasion — I can't speak today, it's Monday — if there's some sort of an invasion of the Netherlands, then the government has the right to seize companies that could be a national security threat. And it used this act, a very a very rare thing for the Netherlands to do. I don't even know, has it ever been used? The Goods Availability Act? Anyway, they decided to use this act as the excuse to seize this Chinese semiconductor company, the subsidiary to a Chinese company that makes semiconductors, saying that it's all about national security, and that's it, man. That is it. The message that the Netherlands is sending out is if you are foreign business, then we can take your company at any moment by invoking these obscure, never used before type of acts. We can seize your assets, seize your property, take over your shares, just like that. They did the same thing to Russia, China. They did the same thing to Russia, Gazprom in Germany. Remember that? Gazprom had all kinds of subsidiaries in Germany. And what did the German government do? It seized all of Gazprom's assets, all the subsidiaries' assets, just like that. It took over everything. And let's not even get to the Russian frozen assets, right? So yeah, that's the message that the EU is putting out there. You have any assets? If you're a foreign company, and you have any assets in Europe, and you're operating a legal business, you're operating a business that actually employs people in Europe, that has no problem with EU laws and regulations, you're operating a fair, transparent, legal business, and we're still going to seize it. We're still going to take it because we don't like your politics. And a lot of this has to do with the 50% rule that Trump imposed on September 29th that went into effect, which basically says that if you are a subsidiary and 50% of your company is owned by an entity by a company that is on the entity list, then the subsidiary is also on that entity list. Did that make sense? I think that made sense the way I explained it. If you are a subsidiary and 50% of your shares are owned by a company on the entity list, on the US entity list, then the subsidiary is also on the entity list of the United States, and it undergoes all kinds of restrictions and regulations. That's the 50% rule that Trump enacted on September 29th. You know, the 50% rule and the entity list and all of that stuff where the US puts your company under regulations and under restrictions is really no different than what China did the other day with the rare earths and putting additional restrictions and regulations on the export of Chinese rare earths. It's no different. Trump expanded the entity list and put the 50% rule in place on September 29th, and China, they put together the whole rare earth regulations and rules a couple of days ago. So there you have it. Anyway, big news from the Netherlands. A terrible move from the Netherlands, which is going to absolutely hurt the European Union and hurt the Netherlands in a big, big way. There's some music now, so I'm going to turn down the audio as we walk through this area. All right, let's do one more story before we get into our clown world for the day. And we have to talk about the Guardian article, where the Guardian, they got the leaked Boris Johnson documents, and they went through those leaked documents and the communications and the emails of Boris Johnson. And what the Guardian uncovered is that Boris Johnson took a £1 million GBP donation from Christopher Harborne, who is a self-described nomad businessman, entrepreneur, investor. He lives all over the world, and he invests heavily in British politics, and he gave a lot of money to Farage and to Reform, and he's been giving a lot of money to the conservative Tories, and he donated $1 million to Boris Johnson when Boris Johnson left the office of prime minister. Harborne then got Boris Johnson's activism platform up and running, his activist consulting company up and running, with a £1 million donation. And then they went to Kiev. that's what The Guardian is reporting. It's not me. All of this is alleged by The Guardian. It's all alleged. This is the reporting coming from The Guardian. This is not the reporting coming from me, but I'm going to summarize what The Guardian said. The Guardian said that this guy, Harborne and Johnson then traveled together to Kiev in 2023. I believe they said September 2023. They took part in the Yes conference. And then they met with Zelensky, and then they met with weapons dealers. And this Harborne guy actually has a significant stake in a weapons company, I believe a 14 or 15% stake, something like that, in a weapons company that supplies its stuff to Ukraine. And The Guardian was implying in this article, this is what The Guardian was basically getting at, was that Boris Johnson, he kept the conflict in Ukraine going, and he lobbies to keep the conflict in Ukraine going because he is getting this these types of donations. That is what The Guardian is implying. The Guardian claims that he took meetings with Zelensky. They say that there were meetings with weapons companies and stuff like that taking place, and defense ministry and all these people in Kiev, and they had all their meetings. All of them took place behind closed doors. The Guardian said it cannot confirm exactly who was in those meetings, but Zelensky was there, Boris Johnson was there. The Guardian was implying that Harborne was hanging around as well, following Johnson wherever he went. And that's basically what The Guardian is saying. That is what they are implying. Once again, these are all allegedly. Everything that I'm saying is allegedly, and these are claims made by The Guardian. But, you know, Boris Johnson, man. Boris Johnson, always trying his best, his hardest, to keep the conflict in Ukraine going. And he's making money from these very wealthy donors who just happen to have stakes in various companies that are working with Ukraine. That's the Guardian article for you. The £1 million man. Why did Boris Johnson take his donor to Ukraine? Exclusive. Leaked files offer a glimpse of the ex-prime minister's relationship with Christopher Harborne. Boris the clown. Boris the clown. Let's see here. Let me read you what Boris said when he was asked by The Guardian about this. In an extraordinary statement to The Guardian, when asked about his relationship with Harborne, Johnson said, "Your pathetic non-stories even seem mostly to be derived from some illegal Russian hack job. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Distributed denial of secrets, DDoS, the US-based transparency group that obtained the leaked files, said it did not know their provenance." Johnson added, "Why don't you just change your name to Pravda? Your stories are rubbish, and you are doing Putin's work." That was what Johnson said when contacted by The Guardian to comment on these allegations. You know why The Guardian is putting this out there. The Guardian is a huge supporter of Zelensky and Project Ukraine. They love Zelensky. The Guardian absolutely loves Zelensky. They absolutely love Project Ukraine. They absolutely hate Russia. They hate Putin, The Guardian. But the reason they're putting this out there, in my opinion, is that they want to send a message to Boris Johnson. Don't get back into politics. Don't get back into the Conservative Party, trying to lead the Conservative Party. Stay away from all of this stuff. That's the warning they gave to Johnson. I think that's why they're doing this. And I think they're signaling to reform as well, because they do note in this article, I wish I could find it, I didn't highlight it, but I believe they say that this guy, this Harborne guy, also donated, I want to say 10 million GBP to reform and Farage. But I could be off about that number. You know what? I'll put it up on the screen when I'm editing the video as to how much they donated to Farage. I can't find it right now. There's also a part in this article. Here we go. Yes, he has given, this guy has given £10 million to Nigel Farage's Brexit party, now Reform UK, and £1 million to the Conservatives while Johnson was completing the UK's departure from the EU. And Johnson seemed to have nurtured the beneficial relationship while he was in number 10. So I think The Guardian is not only signaling to Boris Johnson to stay out of politics and don't look to lead the Conservative Party in the next elections, but they're also maybe signaling to Farage. Who knows? Maybe they're telling Farage, you're going to stick with Project Ukraine because we've got all kinds of information on you as well. We've got your donation list, and it leads back to Ukraine. I don't know. They're signaling something to Farage and Reform, The Guardian. But there's a part in this article where it talks about Johnson's trip to Ukraine and how he was meeting with Zelensky and all of these high-level officials. And it says that Boris Johnson landed in Kiev. He showered up and went to the meetings. When I read that part, I was like, maybe The Guardian is not telling the truth in this article. Boris Johnson taking a shower? That doesn't seem right. I wish I could find that passage, man. Yeah, it says Boris Johnson landed in Kiev and he took a shower and then he attended high-level meetings. I don't think Boris Johnson took a shower. I don't think that's the stuff of Boris Johnson. Cleanliness. Cleanliness is not the stuff of Boris Johnson. Yeah, this guy has described himself as a digital nomad. Harborne has wide expertise, a self-described digital nomad. His holdings range from cryptocurrency and a wellness center to jet fuel and stakes in at least 3 military contractors. His only apparent connection to Ukraine is as the biggest shareholder in a British weapons manufacturer whose robots and drones are reportedly supplied to its armed forces. The leaked files raise questions about whether even here, Boris Johnson, he has blurred the lines between public service and money making. You see what it's all about? It's all about the money. All about the money. So anyway, that's the article from The Guardian. And since we're talking about the money that is the grift that we know as Project Ukraine, I think we can talk about the leader of Denmark, Mette Frederiksen, and she makes our clown world appearance for today. I'm trying to see if I can find the part where it talks about Boris Johnson taking a shower before going to the meetings. Anyway, forget about it. Let's see. Boris Johnson combed his hair before attending a meeting with Zelensky. No, he didn't. He didn't comb his hair. That's not Boris. Maybe this reporting is not accurate. So let's go to Mette Frederiksen. Very good friends with Zelensky. Very, very good friends with Zelensky. Mette Frederiksen, her husband, as a couple, they're very, very close to the Zelensky couple, Zelensky and Zelenskaya. They're very, very close as a couple to the Zelenskys. Very good friends. And media in Denmark is now reporting, at least one outlet called Extra Bladet. They are reporting that Frederiksen's husband, is putting together a film, I think a documentary film, on Zelensky and on Ukraine. And take a guess who is funding this film. The government of Denmark is funding a film of Fredriksen's husband on Zelensky and Project Ukraine. And it looks like Fredriksen does not see anything wrong with this, right? No problem here. My husband doing a documentary on Project Ukraine, on Zelensky, funded by the government of Denmark, funded by the state of Denmark. From Extra Bladet, amid billions in aid, Mette's husband makes Ukraine film. The prime minister's spouse, Bo Tengberg, has received state funding for a documentary with President Zelensky, which Denmark, led by Mette Frederiksen, has supported with 75 billion. The Danish newspaper Ekstra Bladet, which was the first to report on the conflict of interest involving Bo Tenberg, the husband of Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen, who is making a film about Zelensky using state funds, continues to follow the story. Today, the paper reports that Tengberg refused to give an interview on the matter, limiting himself to an email in which he confirmed the fact of the filming. The newspaper once again asserts that this film is a manifestation of nepotism and corruption. Yeah, she sees nothing wrong with this. The leader of Denmark. Your husband doing a documentary film on Ukraine, allegedly. No, he confirmed it, not even allegedly. According to this report, he confirmed that he is filming this. So your husband is filming a project on Ukraine, on Zelensky, as you are the prime minister of Denmark, pouring in billions and billions into the black hole that is Project Ukraine. You see nothing wrong with that, Mette Frederiksen? Nothing, really? Anyway, these are the claims made by Extra Bladet. Of course, the filming has been confirmed by Frederiksen's husband. And that is our clown world for today. Like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel, go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch like what I'm wearing today in Yerevan, and also check us out on Telegram, on X, and on Rumble. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.